2 Chronicles 29, I'll be there in a little bit, Lord willing. Paul said, listen, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. He said something we know about, I believe. He said, there's some good things I really want to do. It's in my heart. It is a genuine desire, not faking it, not pretending. There's some good things I want to do, and I find out I don't all the time. There's times I don't do those good things. But he said, the evil which I would not that I do, those things that I really don't want to do, those bad things, those sinful things, those evil things that I genuinely do not desire to do, I find myself doing those things. He, in essence, says there's some habits that I have allowed to accumulate in my life. And I sure would like to get victory. Thank the Lord he tells us how. And he did. I don't think we'll ever get total victory because we're still flesh. And we will be flesh until we leave this world. But there is victory to be had. We may not be sinless, but we can sin less. There's no doubt. In my thoughts in preparation for this message, I heard a preacher preaching. And he said, when I was little, I had the habit of sucking my thumb. And he said, my mama used to tell me how unhealthy that was and how bad it looked. And she said all the bad things and negative things she could think of to try to break me from that habit. And he said, it didn't break me at all. And he said, then she started putting bad-tasting stuff on my thumb and thinking that when I tasted the bad stuff, I would stop sucking my thumb. And he said, I found out if I sucked it long enough, the bad-tasting stuff would disappear. So I kept sucking my thumb. And then he said, my daddy had a different approach. He said, if I didn't stop sucking it, he's going to cut it off. And he said, I'd sneak up under the stairs and still suck my thumb. But then he said, when I started at school, that first day at school, out on the playground, I was standing beside the swing, and just without even thinking, I stuck my thumb in my mouth. And he said, oh, my classmates looked at me like, what in the world is wrong with you? And he said, I never sucked my thumb again. He had the right motivation to break that habit. What could not have been done and accomplished otherwise was accomplished by those playmates, those friends, looking at him in reproach. I want to try to preach this evening on this. Overcoming habits. There are some habits that are instilled in our lives, some things we do sometimes without even realizing it. Some things we do almost on an involuntary way. In fact, a habit is called is exactly that, an acquired mode of behavior that has become nearly or completely involuntary. It is as though we do it without even thinking. And I don't believe there's anything that we cannot get victory over, but it is a habit is something we have developed in such a way you don't even think about it. It seems natural. Another definition of habit is behavior pattern acquired by frequent repetition. In other words, we do it so much it has become natural. Could I mention some habits that we might have? Or had you rather me overlook that? I thought about this. Wasting time, neglecting help, misuse of money, lying, being overstressful or worried, workaholic, out of control temper, procrastination, overeating, being late all the time, negative thinking, I'll use the word, may make you mad, but I still will, smoking, misuse of TV, shopping, or becoming a pushover, or letting anybody run over you, or the other thing of being overly aggressive and always taking up for yourself. All those things and many more can become habits. Also, as I was looking into this message, I heard about a man that was an iron worker. And he was contracted to do the bars of the cell of the new jail. And he went and he built those. And when he was done, he was quite pleased with his effort. He built them securely. He built them right. And he knew they were secure. And he got paid for the job. Went out and got drunk that night. And guess what happened? He was arrested, and he was the first one to get behind those bars he had made. And I thought, how often that's true of us. We have built bars of habits that have confined us. We have made decisions that have become our bars and have bound us. Someone said that habits are chains that are too small to feel until they become too strong to be broken. I say amen to that. The habits that we can have more impact than we realize. They can control us more than we are aware of. Some of our behavior has been built in us. I suppose I could say all of our behavior has been built in us since our birth. And for some of us, that's quite a while. And so you think about all those times we have done that thing, those things, and it can become our master. Vince Lombardi said this, winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. That's true. Families can become victims of habits. Children do like parents did. Children do like parents, grandparents did. You hear the term break the cycle in regard to that. Churches can develop habits of just doing the same thing. That's one reason why I try to spur you up a little bit. You're not careful, you just come in and every single service. I tell you what, that'll kill us. I try to break that. I take a chance of making you mad, but trying to stir us up a little bit. Christians can have habits that control them. I search for a word that I can use to describe what I'm talking about. For lack of a better word, let's use this word. Sin. Bad habits are nothing more than sin. I mean, if it's wrong, it's wrong, whether we do it once in our life or 100 times a day. I'm talking tonight about overcoming habits, or habits that have overcome our lives, but we don't have to be victims of them. Could I say that habits can confine us? Paul said it. I'll be there in 2 Chronicles in a little bit. Just hang on. We're heading that direction. Just taking a while to dig out through the mud. Paul said, that I would, I do not. He says, I want to do right. I really do. But I find myself not doing it. The good things I want to do, I find myself not doing them. Those habits can confine us. But he also went further. Not only those good things I want to do, I find myself not doing, but the evil things that I really don't want to do, I do it anyway. That's old flesh. Just gets control of me, says Paul sometimes. And those habits that have been developed in my life take over. And he said what I'm trying to say. I am a prisoner. Those habits confine me, like the man in the cell that he built. Habits can confine us. Habits can control us. He said, that I do. It is as though I am controlled by somebody else. And he was, that old nature of Paul, like that old nature in you and me. controls us, that those bad habits, that's me, that's you, that's us, that's flesh. And those habits can control us. Did you hear the definition? Almost or completely involuntary. It is as though it just comes natural. It just controls us. Habits can confine us. We can become a prisoner to them. Habits can control us. We will be a slave, but habits also can cost us. He said, the good that I would, those good things that I could do for God, those good things I want to do, those good things that would accomplish good, I don't do them. But he said, the evil that I would not, that evil stuff, those bad things, those things that will definitely bring about bad results, I find myself doing. Habits cost us a whole lot more than we realize, a whole lot more than we can ever understand or estimate. Habits cost us. I think we have no idea how much damage bad habits can do and what it's costing us. A whole lot more than we realize or think. Well, let's look at the message now. I use this word, these words, this thought, address affliction. Paul said, there's something wrong in me. There's something inside of me broken. I have a problem, says Paul. That I want to do, I don't. And that I don't want to do, I do. The evil that I hate, I find myself doing. He said, there's something broken inside. There's an affliction. There's a problem. And I say the first thing we must do to break those bad habits is to address the affliction. See it as it is. And that means confront myself. Listen, Rick, that bad habit, explain it any way you want to, that bad habit is wrong, and you need to address that problem you got inside, that problem you got in your life. We need to address the affliction, deal with the problem, deal with the issue, admit it, confront it, face to face, and then confess it to God. We are, in essence, agreeing with God and what he says about that bad habit. He says it's wrong. Paul said it's evil. Sounds like to me, God said it is what I've tried to say. It is sin. It is wrong. We need to address the affliction. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. Listen, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. Now, I'll tell you one thing, we're going to find out maybe if I read through these verses, that that had not been the case previous to David's assignment here. The people of Israel, the priests, those supposedly men of God, had let the temple go and had ignored the things of God and let the country go away from God. And Hezekiah comes and he says, it's about time for us to change our actions. He addressed the affliction. He addressed the problem. He said, these things we've been doing are wrong. And he says, we're going to start doing right. Hezekiah got things right. He repaired the temple. Verse 3 says he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He got things fixed up at the house of God. He's addressing the problem. Those things they've been doing have been wrong. They have become habitual. They have become natural, but they are wrong. And Hezekiah is addressing that affliction, addressing that problem. And so it should be with us. We must address the problem we have as it is. It's wrong. Address affliction. We'll never do right until we're right with God. And Hezekiah is pointing himself and them in that direction. He said, I'm going to do right. And I want to tell you, with God's help, we all going to do right. And he fixed up the house of God and, as we'll find, cleansed it and cleaned it and fixed it and changed their habitual actions. He got the priorities right. He opened up the doors of the temple, giving them access to God. I say first, address affliction. Realize, recognize, admit quite heartily, this is wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. No more excuses. No more victim card. If it wasn't for my husband, I wouldn't act like this. If it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't act this way. If I didn't have a boss like I do, I wouldn't do what I do. Oh, no, 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 no. No more victim card. If I'm doing wrong, I'm doing wrong. Address the affliction. Address it. Realize it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. There is no excuse. I am no victim. Maybe I am, but that doesn't excuse me of doing wrong. No more. Well, that's just the way I am. Yeah, but that don't mean it's okay. Yeah, no more. Well, I tried and it didn't work. Oh, well, listen. Anybody who ever says that, including me, didn't really try it God's way because he says my way will work. There is help to be had. No more. I just can't do any better. Oh, I'll tell you one thing. If we get sick of it, if we get tired of it, and we say, I'm going to have help. If God will give me help, I'm going to get help. This is going to be different in my life. I am tired of the way I act. I'm tired of these habits that have consumed me and controlled me. It's hindering my walk. It's hindering my testimony. And God will help me to improve. God will help me to change. The longer we delay, the more embedded they get. The deeper the problem digs in. And the more hard-hearted we get. Like the little boy that was sucking his thumb. There had to be the right button that made him listen. I mentioned first, address affliction. God, you're right. That I am controlled by those habits, those bars that I built that now have become my prison, that control me, they're wrong. I have a problem. And I am weak and unable to help myself. Address affliction. Number two, act aggressively. Decide to change now. Look and see what it says that Hezekiah did. Look in verse 3. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he didn't wait until he'd been in the office for a while. He didn't wait for them to adjust to the change of a new leader. He didn't let them kind of get used to him and how he was. First year, first month, he says, we got to do something about this. We do not need to delay. Let's change it and change it now. Determine in your heart, now's as good a time as any. Make some changes about these habits that are controlling me, that have become my master. I say, first, address affliction and admit to the problem. I say, secondly, act aggressively. Look at it as though it is. It is the enemy. Could have said, in is wrong, is sin. Hezekiah dealt with it thoroughly. Look in verse 16. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of God. They didn't just fix up the outside. They didn't just fix up the main part where all the traffic was going. They went into the corners of the cobwebs and the back rooms and the places where most people would never even go, never even know there was a problem. No, they didn't even know there was anything in there to be dealt with. But they went into the inner part of the house, listen, to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord. Hezekiah said, fellas, I tell you what I want you to do. You go down to the temple And most of the stuff you can find that shouldn't be there, I want you to carry out. He didn't say that. He didn't say, well, come and get some of it. Oh, no. He said, all of it. All of it. Aggressively act. Aggressively deal with it now and deal with it abruptly. Be thorough. They removed all the idols, all the sinful things that had come into the house of God. And that's what we need to do with our lives, our hearts. Clean it all up. Do it now. Do it aggressively. Even the small things. My daddy did not assist me much. He did help me in knowing how to build buildings. And he helped me to know how to dig ditches. And he helped me to know how to handle a garden to a degree. But one thing he always said to me and my brother, he says, when you go out there and weed that garden, don't just chop off the top. Dig it down and get the roots. I thought, that old man don't know what he's talking about. He's taking more time of my playtime away. I'd chop off the top. I'd get done quicker, and I'd play quicker. But it wouldn't be long, those old weeds would grow back up again. And I learned what I didn't want the old man to be right about. He's right. You got to dig out the roots, the root of the problem. Why are we doing what we do? What is the reason? Lust, jealousy, envy, greed, pride. He says, go down there to the house of God and clean out everything. Get to every corner. Go to every spot and get it all out. He says, act aggressively. Attack it in a vengeance. It kind of sounds what the writer of Hebrews had in mind. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. That word beset has the idea of being surrounded by an enemy from all sides and they're ready to attack. Such sin that so, listen, easily. So natural to do that habit, that thing that we do, or things. And I believe Paul said, let us lay aside every weight, everything. Not just part, not just most, but all. Act aggressively. Deal with it all. Dig down deep. I'm talking about acting aggressively. Do it now. Do it thorough. Also, in this act of aggressively doing what we should do, need to do, to deal with overcoming habits, replace it with something good. That I'm talking about. We ain't talking about good habits. Have at it. Go ahead and do them all you want to. I endorse them. We're talking about bad habits that overcome us, control us. And I say we need to replace those bad habits with good habits. Verse 2 again said, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did that which was right. Instead of doing wrong, he did right. Instead of doing the bad habit, he manufactured and he made and he developed a good habit. He replaced the bad with the good. And that's a way to help us with our habits. If we want to change our circumstances, we must change our conduct. And if we expect to have victory over our habits, we got to start doing right things instead of the wrong things. Someone has said the definition to insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. I looked again today. A habit is developed and instilled when we do it for 21 days. That's what the experts tell us. Once it becomes something we usually do, it becomes a habit. So, hey, instead of the bad, we need to do the good. And then it becomes a habit. Act aggressively. Replace the bad with the good. Hey, that's what God does. He said this old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Even God does that. He replaces the bad with the good. And I guess if he does it, it ought to be good enough for us to follow his example. I encourage you, hey, if you let me just grab one from the air. Say I got a problem with TV. Well, there's some good things on TV, but there's some bad things on TV. And even, listen, the good things can control too much of our life and our time if we're not careful. So let's say TV. Well, instead of turning the tube on, I guess that's right anymore. And instead of turning the thing on, let's say I get my Bible. And I open up to a verse and I read it and say, oh, God, please speak to me. Oh, I sure do need some help today, Lord. Speak to my heart, and I read through those words very slowly, very carefully, and open my heart to what God might say to me. And I am replacing that bad habit with a good habit. And then when I get through reading that verse, I talk to God about that verse and what he just said to me. And I ask him to help me to apply that verse or to put to practice what he just said. I ask him to help me to be closer and I adore him for a while and worship him for a while and just spend time with him, opening my heart and saying, God, if there's anything you want to say to me, Lord, I just want to listen. I want to be quiet for a while and you speak to me. That bad habit has been replaced with a good habit. Act aggressively, replace the bad with the good. Change your conduct. It starts with changing our thinking. Our feet will follow where our mind goes. Another thing about this, act aggressively, deal with the little steps. Hey, they went to the temple. They opened the doors first. And they cleansed the temple, but did it item by item, room by room. Foot by foot. A lot of times, boy, that habit seems so big and so controlling, and it's so overwhelming, so embedded in our lives. We think about how in the world can I handle that? It seems so big. It's almost too big. So, little steps, little things. Start with the little steps because one step leads to another. And it's easier to deal with the little steps than the big steps. Plan ahead. I said the other night, Sunday night is probably the worst time of my week. After I get back to the house tonight, I don't think I'm setting myself up. I don't think this is self-prophecy, self-doom. But I have lived a little while. I've pastored now 32 years. I know Sunday night. I got enough sense to know my mind's in right function. Sunday night's a tough time for me. And I know to be careful and because of how the devil will fight me when I get back to the house. And if I'm not careful, I'll fall into damaging or destructive patterns, and instead of thinking my God is still God and everything's all right, I'll think about those negative thoughts and all the things that didn't happen and who wasn't there and they should have been and all those bad habits. But if I can think ahead and plan ahead and prepare for that, I'm more likely to be successful instead of defeated. That person at work, you know, they get to you. Plan ahead. You know your pattern. You know the usual attack of the devil. You can plan ahead on something. Some things you can't, but some things you can. You know what happens to make that habit trigger. Plan ahead for those things. Well, you'll be ready for them. Act aggressively. This ain't something to play around with. We got to act and got to act aggressively. It's our enemy. I thought about this. Remember tomorrow. Doing what that habit is may make you feel good now when you do it. But tomorrow, when you look back and realize I failed again, it's cost me. And while you're being tempted to do that, think about now
is it worth this little bit of, could I use this word, pleasure? This willingness to give in to self and let me do what I want to do and then tomorrow pay the cost? Is it going to be worth it? Will I be glad tomorrow if I give in to the habit today? Probably not. So think about tomorrow. Think about it. It's not going to be worth it. I will regret it maybe before tomorrow. So act aggressively. Address affliction. Hezekiah said, we got a problem, and I'm a part of it. And then also act aggressively, Hezekiah said, well, we got to do something about this problem, and we're going to do it right when we do it. And then lastly, accept assistance. You think Hezekiah was just strong-willed man? And just said, I just believe right's right. And I'm just going to do right, and I'm going to make sure everybody else does right. I don't think so. I believe God worked in the heart of Hezekiah, and God aided Hezekiah to do what was right in his own life and stop doing what was wrong. And then God aided him to help people to do the same. I want to tell you something. If we could do it ourselves, we probably already would have. But the fact that we're talking tonight about a bad habit suggests I need help. I can't do any better myself. Paul said it. I want to do good, but I don't. And I don't want to do bad, but I do. There ever is such a thing as being in good company and the bad thing we are, because Paul was like that. Could I say it again? There's a Romans 8 that came to Paul God victory. Accept a six assistance. I need to change, and by God's grace, I will. If he doesn't help me, I've had him. But I believe he wants to, and I believe he's able. And he's able to help me. Me. Oh, I'm glad he can help other people. But he can help me. He can help you. If any of you lack wisdom, how in the world can I do it? How in the world, where do I even start? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. He said, if you wonder about it, ask me. And I'll tell you, and I'll help you. My last thought is accept assistance. Ask God to help you, and then accept the help he's wanting to give you. You say, I have tried. Have you really? If we want it, we want it. I believe we try harder and try longer. Sometimes we get an urge to help ourselves or change. It doesn't last long enough to make the change and develop a new and better habit. Accept assistance. Ask God to help you and trust that he will and trust that he is. And every moment of the day, I'm telling you, trust him to give you the help you need. And when you fail, and you will. Boy, if you don't, I want to read your book. You'd write it real quick. There'll be times we fail because it's a habit. But as soon as you do, as soon as I do, confess it quick. Accept the forgiveness and say, oh, God, I am sorry. I mean that. Now, Lord, help me get back in the saddle again. Trust him. Accept his help. I say this. I'm talking about accepting assistance. It may be good to find a good friend, godly friend, that you can be honest with and they'll be honest to you. And they won't go blab and just tell them, boy, you better pray about this. But I'm thinking there's some help in it, being accountable to somebody. Where they can say anytime, how's that habit going? That'll help you make sure that you get control of it with God's help. And maybe they can do the same with you, admit to you that there's an issue they need some help with. Hey, I want to tell you one thing, it'll be worth it. And that person who really loves you, that's really godly, they won't look down at you because they know they got the same kind of habits too. Accept assistance. Trust God by his grace, moment by moment, step by step, day by day. I don't know all the background of one day at a time, sweet Jesus. I have more negative thoughts than positive, I'll be honest. But no matter what the background and all that has been used or misused or abused, it sure does have a good truth. One day at a time. I ain't worried about tomorrow. I'm worried about this afternoon, this evening, between now and when I go to sleep tonight. Sometimes you have to think 1 hour at a time, 5 minutes at a time. I can just, God, if you'll help me through this 5 minutes. Help me through this break at work. Help me through my first walking into the door at the house or a job or help me, Lord. And when he helps you, you make sure you thank him. Make sure you acknowledge where the help came from, because we ought to know what we're like without it. I promise you I didn't fix a lot tonight, but they gave us some aids. You see, there's no magic wand. Whoosh, boy, I wish I had one. I'd fix a lot of things. I'd wave it over my own head first. But I know this. If we'll admit it, Lord, you're right. It's wrong. And say, by God's grace, I'm going to do something now. I'm not waiting until tomorrow. I'm not waiting until next week. Now. And then ask God for help and accept it by faith. I believe there's some help to be had. Overcoming habits. Let's stand together. Realize with this message, I hope it's something we'll take home. Well, I hope so. But there may be somebody who wants to pray about something. Whatever it is. Whoever it's for. Whatever need there is. You know you can come and talk to a God who loves you. Father, Lord, help us to hear you. I ask you for this message. Help me to apply it to my life. I need it as much as anybody, maybe more. I ask you to help me. Help us, Lord, to do what you've told us to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As bowed eyes are closed, you come.